Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we've got kind of a special mission. We're diving into the topics students are actually exploring right now using the Juice app.
Yeah, that daily educational tool.
Exactly.
So let's unpack these stories, see what jumps out.
Okay, let's kick things off with a big one, a global demographic shift. You might recall headlines about countries, you know, limiting family size.
Oh, yeah, the overpopulation concerns.
Well, Vietnam, nation of 100 million, just reverse course. They've ended their mostly unenforced two-child limit.
Hmm.
They're trying to boost falling birth rates and deal with a potentially shrinking workforce.
It's fascinating because this policy shift really highlights a massive global reversal. I mean, for decades, mid-20th century, the fear was overpopulation.
A population bomb, right.
Exactly. Famine, collapse, resource scarcity. Now, the concern is declining birth rates.
Totally different problem.
Yeah, the impact on the workforce, funding elder care, economic productivity, it's a complete swing.
And Vietnam's not the only one, I gather.
Not at all. China's the big example, right? 1.4 billion people. They had the strict one-child policy, serious penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Now they allow three kids, even removed fines for having more. Other places like Egypt, Iran, Singapore, they might recommend two kids, but no legal limits anymore. It's this global adjustment happening.
So Vietnam has this golden population phase now.
Right.
More workers than dependents.
That's right, for now. Mm-hmm. But the projections, well, demographers see that changing, maybe by 2039.
So it's a ticking clock, sort of.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. An economist chime in saying, look, just telling people to have more kids isn't the whole solution.
It's more complex.
Much more. You need better family benefits, childcare support, parental leave. And Vietnam also has that gender imbalance issue, the preference for sons. That plays a role, too.
Right.
And it's not just policy. It's personal choice. This marketing manager in Hanoi, in Nguyen Thu Linh, told the AP, look, the cost, the time. Raising more kids is a huge commitment.
So government says one thing, but reality on the ground.
Exactly. It shows that interplay, economics, culture, personal decisions.
That's a really important point. It's not just top down. So for parents, teachers, maybe a good discussion point is, what factors would you consider when deciding about having kids? Personal reasons, but also maybe those bigger societal things.
That's a great question. Connects the personal to the global.
Okay. Shifting gears from long-term demographics to something very immediate. The weather. Get ready for sticky weather. The forecast says 40 U.S. states, especially South, Midwest, East, are in for extreme humidity and heat over the next couple of weeks.
Mm.
Apparently, it's warm, damp air from the Atlantic and Caribbean trapped by a heat dome.
A heat dome sounds unpleasant. And it really brings home that saying, it's not the heat, it's the humidity.
Right. What's the science there?
Well, humidity is just the water vapor in the air, right? And it messes with our body's cooling system. We sweat to cool off.
Through evaporation.
Exactly. But if the air is already full of moisture, evaporation slows way down or stops. So the sweat just sits there. You stay hot, soaked. That's when you risk heat exhaustion.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So meteorologists measure this with dew point.
Yeah, the dew point.
Yeah.
And many cities are expected to hit extreme dew points. Think tropical rainforest levels of moisture in the air.
Wow. That paints a picture.
It really does. It measures how muggy and oppressive it feels.
And potentially dangerous. What should people look out for?
Good question. Suzanne Beavers at the CDC, she's an epidemiologist, advises watching for heavy sweating, cramps, weakness. If you feel that, stop what you're doing.
Get somewhere cool, drink fluids.
Right. Cool beverages, rest. And really key, any change in mental status, like confusion or dizziness, that needs immediate medical help.
Okay, good advice. So for the kids, a practical question. What would you do if it got super hot and humid? What's your plan to stay safe and comfortable?
Yeah, making it concrete for them. Actionable.
All right. Next story. This one has big economic and social ripples.
Yeah.
Recent ICE raids, immigration and customs enforcement on farms. They're causing major disruptions.
Mm.
We're hearing reports from a street vendor in L.A., a meatpacking plant in Nebraska, a dairy in New Mexico, all saying severe labor shortages, undocumented workers detained or just too scared to show up.
Yeah, the economic and human cost here is pretty significant. The USDA, the Department of Agriculture, they estimate something like 4 out of 10 crop workers on U.S. farms are undocumented.
4 out of 10.
Well, and they often do these really tough, low-paying jobs that frankly, many Americans don't want. So when these workers disappear, farms see yields drop, profits shrink.
And that hits us at the checkout, right?
Directly. Less supply means higher food prices. Look, California produces a huge chunk of the nation's fruits, nuts, veggies.
Yeah.
They've literally had fields left half-harvested because of raids. What's interesting, too, is the criticism isn't just coming from one side.
Mm.
No, you've got farming groups, even some Republican lawmakers in agricultural areas, like Rep. Dan Newhouse from Washington State, pointing out, hey, these people have worked here for years. They contribute regardless of status.
That's complex.
Very. There was even that brief moment. Remember, President Trump announced a pause on raids in these sectors because of the labor shortage, but then 5 days later rescinded. Shows how volatile this is.
A real balancing act, or maybe the conflict between enforcement and the economy. So a question for discussion here. What could happen to farms and the price of our food if there aren't enough workers for the harvest?
Yeah, makes the economics very tangible. Supply and demand in action.
Okay, we've hit some heavy topics. But this next story, it's really about individual resilience and kindness.
Ah, good.
It's about Peter Mutabazi. He was once a homeless kid on the streets in Uganda now. He lives in North Carolina, and he's fostered 47 children since 2017.
47? That's incredible. His story is such a powerful example of, you know, paying it forward, turning hardship into something amazing.
Tell us more about his background.
Well, he ran away from an abusive home at just 10, lived on the streets. Then at 15, a stranger took him in, enrolled him in boarding school. That one act changed everything. He thrived.
That's amazing. One person's kindness?
It really is. And he didn't stop there. Earned multiple degrees, one in crisis management and theology. Now he works for World Vision, the advocacy nonprofit, as a senior child advocate.
Wow.
He calls fostering a calling, says he often gets more than he gives, and you see the impact. His own son, Anthony, who's 19 now, told the Washington Post he wants to follow his dad's example, help others.
That's beautiful. Really shows the ripple effect.
Doesn't it?
So, a wonderful point for discussion. How has someone's kindness maybe shaped how you treat others? And how can we all look for ways, big or small, to pay it forward?
Love that. Focusing on the positive impact we can have.
Okay. Next up, from The Juice, is their quote of the day. This one's from the American athlete Babe Didriksen-Zaharias. If you win through bad sportsmanship, that's no real victory.
Great quote. And Babe Didriksen-Zaharias, I mean, what an athlete. Seriously, one of the greatest of the 20th century. Just incredibly versatile.
She did multiple sports, right?
Oh, yeah. Excelled. Basketball, track and field, golf. At the 1932 Olympics in L.A., two golds and a silver in track and field. And get this. Individual medals in running, throwing, and jumping events.
That's unreal versatility.
It really is. Then she pivots to golf and becomes dominant there too. Won 10 major championships. She even qualified for and made the cut in a men's PGA Tour event.
Wow. Ahead of her time.
Totally.
Yeah.
And beyond her own success, she co-founded the LPGA, the Ladies Professional Golf Association, in 1950. Huge for women's sports. Paved the way. Posthumously in the National Women's Hall of Fame. Deservedly so.
What a legacy.
Right. So her quote about sportsmanship, it's not just about games. It's about integrity, respect, what winning really means.
Definitely. So a good question for students. What does good sportsmanship mean to you? And why is it important, maybe even more important than just winning?
Good one. Gets them thinking about values.
All right, final story.
Yeah.
And this one kind of blew my mind. It's about breathing.
Breathing, okay.
Yeah. A new study out of Israel found that every single person has a unique nasal respiratory fingerprint. Your breathing pattern is apparently as distinct as your fingerprint.
Whoa, a breathing fingerprint. That is amazing. This was published in Current Biology.
That's the one.
Okay, the hypothesis behind it is really cool, basically. Our brains are unique, right? And the brain networks controlling our breathing patterns over the long term are complex.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was unique brain, unique breathing signature.
So he tested this how, hooked people up to monitors.
Pretty much. They monitored 100 volunteers, tracked everything, breath duration, time between breaths, air volume, all over 24 hours. Then a computer crunched the data, built a unique profile for each person.
And could the computer recognize them later?
Get this. Over 2 years, the algorithm identified volunteers just by their breathing pattern with 96.8% accuracy.
Wow. That's incredibly accurate for a biological process.
That's what one of the authors, Noam Sobel, said. Very rare to predict biology that well. The hope now is for medical applications.
Like diagnosing issues.
Potentially, yeah. helping treat breathing problems, maybe even diagnosing other conditions, physical or mental, that might subtly disrupt breathing patterns. It's a whole new way of looking at our physiology.
That's fascinating. Really makes you think about something we do constantly without noticing, which leads to a good discussion. Are you ever aware of your own breathing during the day? How might paying more attention to it actually affect how you feel or think?
Nice. Connecting science to self-awareness.
So what a range of topics today. Global population trends, immediate weather science, economic impacts of labor policy, incredible personal stories, sports history, even our unique biology.
It really covers a lot of ground.
These are the kinds of insights that help us all get, you know, truly well-informed. Well, we hope this deep dive gave you plenty to think about and maybe chat about with the young people in your life. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was great.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.